Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. We are just a few days away from finishing the Nach Yomi cycle. I look forward to celebrating this momentous milestone with you and your friends and family at one of our many Siyumim worldwide. To see our growing list of Siyumim and to register, add your name to the Siyum scroll, and support the program that has been with you every day for the past 2 years, please visit ouwomen.org/Siyum26. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Daled. Chapter 34 is about Yoshiyahu, the son of Amon. It is important to know that Yoshiyahu is unique because his actions are foretold nearly 300 years before his birth. In Melachim Aleph, Kings 1, an anonymous prophet confronts the wicked Yeravam ben Nevat after he establishes illegitimate altars in Beit El and Dan. The prophet declares that a future descendant of David HaMelech named Yoshiyahu will arise and put to death the priests who serve upon Yeravam's unlawful altars. Yoshiyahu does exactly that in verse 5 of our chapter. It is exceedingly rare for an event to be foretold so far in advance. Interestingly, though, Yoshiyahu is unaware of this prophecy, so we already know that he is special, but he does not. According to a midrash in Pirkei to Rabbi Eliezer, Yoshiyahu is one of six people whose names were given to them before birth. What is the origin of his name? Ya'e Shai Hu Lefanecha. He is a most appropriate gift to be offered up to you. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman suggests that through him as king, the nation would be offered to God one more time. He would bring sanctity back to Israel and maybe lead them toward their messianic future. Yoshiyahu was 8 years old when he became king. We are told in verse 2, Vayasa yashar b'nei Hashem, vayelech b'darchei David aviv, v'lo sar yamin usmol. He did what was pleasing to Hashem, walked in the ways of his forefather David, without deviating to the right or to the left. We have learned enough of these introductory psukim to know and realize that this one is different. Similar language is found by Yehoshaphat, that he walked in the ways of David, but there was a qualifier there, that it was the ways of David Rishonim, David's earlier actions. There is no such qualifier in our Pasuk. Indeed, here it adds to the description by saying that he didn't veer right or left from that path. Yoshiyahu is distinctive and notable, and you can't help but get a little hopeful. We are then told, U'b'shmona shanim l'mocho, v'hu'odenu nar, hechela drosh l'okei David aviv, u'b'shtemis reishana, hechela taher Yehuda Rishlaim, min abamot, v'asherim, v'hapsilim, v'hamasechot. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his forefather David, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Yehuda and Jerusalem of the bamot, the asherah trees, the idols, and the molten images. After the cleansing of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, we read in verse 8 about Yoshiyahu's efforts to repair the Beit HaMikdash. U'b'shnat shmonasre l'mocho, l'taher ha'aretz, v'habayit, shalach et Shafan ben Atzalyahu, ve'et Masiyehu sar ha'ir, ve'et Yo'ach ben Yo'achaz ha'mazkir, l'chazek et Beit Hashem Elokav. In the 18th year of his reign, after purging the land and the house, he commissioned Shafan, son of Azaliah, Masayo, the governor of the city, and Yoash, son of Yoachaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Hashem. They came to Chilkiah, the high priest, and gave over the silver that was brought to the house of God, which the Levium, the gatekeepers who were in charge of guarding the money, had gathered from the hand of Menashe and Ephraim, and from all the remnants of Israel, and from all Judah and Benjamin, when they passed through the cities of Israel in order to purify the land, as described above. And they returned to Jerusalem. They gave it to the foremen who were assigned to the house of Hashem, who then gave it to the craftsmen who work with hard materials, and to the builders for them to buy quarried stones and wood for couplings to join together the various parts of the building, and to make with them beams for the structures that the kings of Yehuda had destroyed. We learn that v'ha'anashim osim be'emunah b'mlacha, the men worked faithfully. It was necessary to cover parts of the temple building with wood and to insert new stones to stabilize the structure. All these matters have been neglected for almost 60 years during the reigns of the two previous kings, Menashe and Amon. For many years, no one had inspected the temple, certainly not its treasuries. Now we learn in verse 14, U'behotziyam et ha-kesef ha-muva beit Hashem, matza Chilkiyahu ha-kohen et sefer terat Hashem b'yad Moshe. As they took out the silver that had been brought to the house of God, the priest Hilkiah found the book of Hashem's teaching given by Moshe. This is a defining moment in Yoshiyahu's reign. Hilkiah proclaimed and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I found the Torah scroll in the house of Hashem." Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the scroll to Yoshiyahu, and furthermore, he brought back a report to the king saying, "Everything that was assigned to your servants, they are doing." Then, in verse 18, "Vayaget Shaphan ha-sofer lemelech lemor, sefer natan li Hilkiah ha-kohen, vayikra bo Shaphan lefnei ha-melech." The scribe Shaphan also told the king, "The priest Hilkiah has given me a scroll." And Shaphan read from it to the king. "Vayihi kishmo ha-melech et divrei ha-torah, vayikra e-begadav." When the king heard the words of the teaching, he tore his clothes. Radak helps understand why Yoshiyahu tore his clothes. "Amru ki matzu ha-sefer shahaya niglal b'parshat tochachot, yolei Hashem otcha ve'et malkacha asher takim alecha." The sages said that the scroll was found rolled to the chapter of the admonitions. "The Lord will drive out you and the king whom you have set over you." This means that the Torah was rolled to the passage in Devarim, which threatens exile for transgressing the laws of the Torah. Matsuda David explains that he tore his clothes out of fear. He felt that finding the Torah rolled to that verse was a sign. In order to understand Radak and Matsuda David, we need to explain the concept of psok li psukach, recite your verse to me. We see this idea frequently in the Talmud. The sages would randomly ask a child what he had learned that day in school. The verse that the child would say would be considered to be orchestrated by Hashem and therefore guide them in their actions. So here too, Yoshiyahu did not think that the Torah was rolled to that pasuk unless Hashem wanted him to notice it and draw conclusions from it. The king commanded Hilkiah and other officers to Lechu, Dershu et Hashem ba'adi, uba'at ha-nishar b'Yisrael b'yuda, al divrei ha-sefer asher nimsa, ki gdola chamat Hashem asher nitzcha banu, al asher lo shamru avotenu et dvar Hashem, lasot k'chol katuv al-sefer zeh. Go inquire of God on my behalf, and on behalf of those who remain in Israel and Judah, considering the words of the scroll that has been found. For great indeed must be God's wrath that has been poured down upon us because our ancestors did not obey the word of Hashem and do all that is written in the scroll. Hilkiah and the other men went to Huldah, the prophetess, and they spoke to her about the king's concerns over the passages that had been read to him from the Torah scroll. Why'd they go to Huldah, not Yirmiyahu, who was the leading prophet at that time? One possibility is that Yirmiyahu was away trying to get the tribes of the northern kingdom back from their Assyrian exile. Huldah's message in verses 23 to 28 contained two elements, the inevitability of the destruction and the fact that Yoshiyahu himself would not experience it. The first part of the prophecy is directed to the people. Ko amar shem hinini mevi ra'al makom azev al yoshvav et kol ha'alot haktuvot al sefer asher karu lifnei melech Yehudah. Thus said God, I am going to bring disaster upon this place and its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the scroll that was read to the king of Yehuda. Tachat asher azavuni v'yikatru le'elohim achrim l'man hachiseni b'chol ma'aseh yedeim v'titach chamati b'makom hazeh v'lo tichbeh. Because they forsook me and made offerings to other gods in order to vex me with all the works of their hands, my wrath shall be poured out against this place and not be quenched. It's interesting that this is given as the reason for the punishment. I mean, Yoshiyahu was literally in the process of eradicating idol worship. That's because Yoshiyahu didn't realize that idol worship was actually still going on in the land despite his attempts to remove it. The Gemara in Tanit teaches that Yoshiyahu misread his own people. Hu eino yodea she'ein dora dome yafeh. He did not know that his generation did not merit. Eicha Rabba explains how Yoshiyahu didn't know. What did the scoffers of that generation do? They drew the images of their idols on two panels of a swinging door, so that when the door was open, only half the picture could be seen. The inspectors that Yoshiyahu delegated to check that there were no idols in any of the homes were deceived. They never saw the whole idol. Only after the inspectors left and the doors closed behind them was the idol totally visible. The message then continues about Yoshiyahu himself. Yan ra rach levavcha v'tikana milfnei elkim v'shamacha et dvarav al makom hazeh v'al yoshvav v'tikana lefanai v'tikra begadecha v'tefcha v'chanai v'gam ani shamati ne'um Hashem. Since your heart was softened and you humbled yourself before God when you heard my words concerning this place and its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and tore your clothes and wept before me, I for my part have listened, declares Hashem. Hineni osivcha el avotecha, v'nesafta el kivrtecha b'shalom, v'lo tereh enecha, v'chol ara asher ani mevi al makom hazeh, v'al yoshvav, v'yashivu et hamelech davar. Assuredly, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be laid in your grave in peace. Your eyes shall see nothing of the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. They reported this back to the king. Every prophecy of evil is in effect a warning, as the assumption is that if people repent, the dark prophecy will not come to pass. Consequently, Yoshiyahu sought with all his might to reverse the decree. The king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. When they were all gathered, Vayahal HaMelech Beit Hashem, V'chol Ish Yehudah, V'yoshvei Yerushalayim, V'akonim, V'alevi'im, V'chol Ha'am, Migadol V'akatan, V'yikra B'ozneyem, Et Kol Divrei Sefer HaBrit, HaNimsa Beit Hashem. The king went up to the house of God with the entire citizenry of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, young and old, and he read to them the entire text of the covenant scroll that was found in the house of Hashem. The king stood in his specially designated spot in the temple and established a covenant before Hashem to follow Hashem and to observe his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant that are written in this scroll. Vaya'amed et kol nimsa b'Yerushalayim b'Binyamin, vaya'asu yoshvei Yerushalayim kivrit Elohim Elohei avoteim. He obligated all the people of Jerusalem and Benjamin who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem acted in accord with the covenant of God, Hashem, of their ancestors. It doesn't seem that the people accepted the covenant of their own volition, but has Yoshiyahu obligating them. The chapter ends by telling us, Vayasar Yoshiyahu et kol ha'tovot mikol ha'aratzot asher livnei Yisrael, Vayaved et kol hanimsa b'Yisrael, la'avod et Hashem Eloheim, kol yamav, lo saru ma'achrei Hashem Elohei avoteihem. Yoshiyahu removed all the abominations from the whole territory of the Israelites and obliged all who were in Israel to worship Hashem, their God. Throughout his reign, they did not deviate from following the eternal God of their ancestors. The cleansing we learned about earlier in the parak is resumed here, and the implication is that the absence of all cultic objects would force the people to serve Hashem. Yoshiyahu was raised under the influence of an evil grandfather, Menasheh, and an evil father, Amon, yet he nevertheless found his way back to Hashem. His life testifies to the presence of a hidden, indestructible spark of sanctity within the Jewish people, a spark that can never be extinguished. Perhaps Yoshiyahu is destined to uncover that spark and help lead the nation back to Hashem. This shir is dedicated L'Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.